Yesterday, I was at the gym. I was 20 minutes into the elliptical workout, which is like running on soft cushions without all the wind and the rain. My mind was floating free, thinking about the sermon today, the grace in aging. And behind me, the sounds of barbells and the occasional grunt. Not my grunt, their grunt. And then I overheard this conversation between two very muscled young men, probably in their mid-20s. The second man didn't say very much. Yo, man, super tired today. Yeah, man, by Saturday, I'm wrecked. Yeah, man, I stay up late, you know, every night. Then I'm up really early in the morning to work, like every day. Every day. After 5 days, I'm super tired. I just, you know, man, I can't do it anymore. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I'm getting old. Followed by a chuckle. The second man didn't say anything. I had to chuckle myself, too, out of the absolute sheer perfection of this moment for me. Here I am writing on the topic of aging. I mean, this guy gets it, right? He really gets it. He's realized that he's aging, just like all of us, right? What used to be easy to bounce back from, it just isn't easy anymore. And he was this close to realizing that he was not protected from that youthful delusion that he was going to live just as he was forever. And he was going to have to make some choices. I could feel it coming for him. He was going to have to choose to go to bed earlier, maybe. So he wasn't quite so tired by the end of the week. Well, you know, aging is the great equalizer, isn't it? Whether you're 20-something and a weightlifter or a little old lady on her elliptical trainer, he and I were both aging. You know, I almost gave him a hug out of gratitude. Most scientists now agree that physical aging is at least in part the result of accumulating damage to the molecules, such as proteins, lipids, and nucleic acid that makes up our cells. If enough molecules are damaged, our cells will function less well, our tissues and organs will begin to deteriorate, and eventually our health will decline. So in many respects, we appear to age much like our cars do. Our parts start to wear out, and we gradually lose the ability to function as we used to. So that's the inescapable reality that we share. But not what I want to talk about today, not about the physical aspects of aging, but how we respond to that aging process with awareness that deepens our journey in this lifetime. The awareness that we bring to the millions of choices that we make every day. How we are moved by our desires, by our dreams, our goals. How we respond to loss and disappointment and tragedy. How we adapt to what life offers us. This is where we have the opportunity to share our experiences of aging. And in those choices, because of those choices, grace may come to us. It is also an inevitable process brought about by living into what is important to you. Self-honesty and the courage to let go. Let's start with letting go. Of the seven ages of man written by Shakespeare, each one defines a different stage of life. From the infant mewling and puking in his mother's arms to that last stage, sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything. Life is a journey of becoming and letting go. In the beginning, we are eager to grow up, and the quicker the better. We want to run before we can walk. We want to climb the tallest tree and read all through the night. We want to act older than we are, wash the dishes all by ourselves, fix our own bicycles. As children, we are often eager to accumulate experience and get on with growing up. We hardly ever notice the letting go part, except when we grow out of our clothes or get too big for our bicycles. But as I learned when my youngest daughter hit her mid-teens, her perspective on aging shifted to a very negative slant. She simply decided one day she didn't want to grow any older. Overnight, it seemed growing older meant growing up, and growing up meant taking on adult responsibilities and pressures and losing the carefree freedoms of youth, including the right to define her own life and destiny. There's a term used today by teens and young adults, adulting. Adulting is a verb, meaning to do grown-up things and hold responsibilities such as 9-to-5 jobs, mortgage, rent, car payments, or anything else that makes one think of grown-ups. Used in a sentence, Jane is adulting quite well today as she is on time for work promptly at 8 a.m. and appears well-groomed. Adulting. Insinuated in this new word is sort of a cynical detachment, if not a total rejection, of society's definitions of growing up. The question being challenged is, you know, is job and mortgage the real definition that I want to attach to me, to my identity, to my growing up? At least for my daughter and many of her friends, no is the answer. No, this is not what I want attached to my identity. My life is not confined or defined by these externals. It's important that I take responsibility for my life by being responsible for how I define it. I will be the one who says what's important to me, thank you very much. I will forge my own way on my own terms. I'm putting words into my daughter's mouth, but the essence is there. And so the letting go here is the letting go of society's approval, perhaps even parental approval. Self-awareness at this age means we sometimes need to push away from what is no longer meaningful for us. So the young, and maybe everyone here has done it, the young push away from that shore in a boat of their own making, into the river of their own life, to seek the deeper, fuller life. The monk Thomas Merton writes, "If you want to identify me, ask not where I live, or what I eat, or how I comb my hair, but ask me what I'm living for, in detail. Ask me what I think is keeping me from living fully for the thing I want to live for." And so our aging continues on into middle life. On our riverboat, seeking the deeper answers to a life of worth and meaning. You know, if your life was anything like mine, what I wanted to live for and how I thought I would make it all happen changed as the river of my life took its unexpected twists and turns. At one point, I lost my raft and way. Sometimes I ended up traveling on the rafts of others, which had its benefits and its challenges. Sometimes I had to portage alone over dry ground. Sometimes I lived for a while alone in a cave. All the while, though, through the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, as well as just ordinary fortune and misfortune. And yet, all the while, I was becoming myself. We become ourselves with every step we take, every plunge of that paddle into the river. No step we take or stroke we take, no choice we make is unimportant. Who you are today is the result, the accumulation of every choice that you have made in your life. It is also the accumulation of every choice, every step you didn't take, every loss that you have experienced. In the middle part of your life, you know what you live for and you know what keeps you from truly living in the best is, excuse me, to know what you live for and to know what keeps you from truly living is the best riddle to solve. In the middle years, we're sometimes burdened with the pressures of the choices that we have made. Sometimes, with awareness, we have an opportunity to adjust ourselves. Not like the superficial midlife crisis way of buying a, you know, shiny new car or a facelift or any of that sort of superficial stuff, but an adjustment to a deeper meaning, an adjustment into a remembrance, a reconnection with what means to us to live a fuller life. Sometimes we need to name what it is that's preventing us from living a fuller life, a deeper life. Is it anger or fear or responsibilities that hold little meaning to us anymore? Does your lifestyle mask a deeper longing? And can you hear it, taste it, feel that yearning? With understanding and respect for yourself and those around you, you can adjust your life to face a little bit more directly the direction of that yearning. To find grace in our aging, we need to see ourselves honestly, clearly. We need to accept that life is not always what we expected it to be. We will succeed in some things, fail in others. Things happen that we can't change. We must let go of the youthful expectations, which is sometimes hard to do. But in middle life, we have experience. We can use that experience. Sometimes we need the wisdom to know when to hold on and when to not give up, when to push ourselves just a little bit more. And then, of course, when it's wisest to let go. In that later stage, sounds, teeth, sounds, taste stage, The accumulation of all those small and large choices have kind of settled into a rhythm. The fighters keep on fighting, the lovers keep on loving, but with longer periods for rest and renewal. And with, one hopes, the wisdom of acceptance of one's own limitations. Some of you know Philip Hewitt, the Reverend Philip Hewitt. He's spoken here in the past. Philip Hewitt, who gently totters on his 6'4" frame, has reached the venerable age of 90. Philip, who has been a mentor and friend of mine for many years, has walked every mountain in this province, or many of them, most of them, as well as many states and a few countries. And he has something to teach us about the art of aging and in the knowing when to push on and when to let go. This past week, Philip, as is the usual habit, worked in his garden for 20 minutes each day, partly to keep limber and to stay a little bit on top of the never-ending work that gardeners know best. Philip eats his own homemade, homegrown produce and lives mostly on his own, as his son works long hours and is rarely around. Philip comes from the school, as my father did, of the slow and steady folk, or at least now he does. When on his long hikes, which he can't do so much anymore, but recently he told me he had had to learn to set his own pace while walking with a group of hikers, all of them much younger than him. He worried that he was going to hold them back, but he also knows that he won't make it to the top unless he sets his own pace, the pace that he can manage. And then once set, he doesn't waver, one foot after the next, in sync with his arms that deliberately place the poles, one after the other, and then as all four limbs finally are moving in this sort of gentle rhythm together, all the way to his goal, to the top of the path, and down again. As you get older, coming down requires sometimes even more awareness and care, because you might trip on a stone or worse, wrench some part of you that will no longer heal quite as fast as it used to. So care and awareness, acceptance of one's limitations allows Philip to continue being the hiker he's always loved being. He says he and his friends don't talk anymore about their aches and pains. Now, I'm sure many of you have got there yourselves. At first, when you're younger, say 50 or 60, every new ache and every new pain is appraised and compared and complained about, as are doctor's appointments and the new vitamins and the exercise regime. From what I hear, though, and what I witness, when you get into your 80s and 90s, at least Philip tells me, that his friends don't talk about what they can't do anymore, but what they still can do. There is grace in doing what you can do and enjoying it. There is grace in living fully as you are able. Not the same kinds of things that you did, of course, when you were 20 or 50, but fully now for your age and means and ability. Our bodies are changing. It's delusional to think otherwise. So now we are challenged to live fully with that infinite compassion for our limitations, whether that's a limitation of a weakness in our heart or our mind or our joints. Grace in aging is living fully as we are. And some days are better than others. but you can rarely plan on it. When opportunity is before you, you seize it. Philip told me that he had a very good day this week. There was an unexpectedly sunny afternoon, and he was feeling strong. So out into the garden he went, and the opportunity to get the rest of the leaves raked up seemed perfect. His usual 20 minutes came and went with hardly a notice. Determined as he was, with the energy he was feeling and the opportunity of sunshine, to take advantage and clean up the yard. 2 hours later, the whole job was done, and the garden was ready for winter. It was a very good day. It might have been another one of those best days of our lives.